Fourth and final hour of our get-together, affectionately called the 9 o'clock stretch. Oh, yeah. It is 9:06, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's a Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And without further ado, the award-winning, fresh from Florida, Florida Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Bob.
You got to take me with you everywhere you go. I could do your intro.
Hey, you know what? It would be much better. Well, I shouldn't say that right out loud, but yes, you do a very impressive intro, so thank you.
Thank you. That's the one thing I can do, I think, is what you're trying to say. it is great to have you. Hey, tell me about this recent award that you did win. It looks impressive. It's like a crystal horse.
Well, it's such an honor to get an award like this. Horse Farms Forever right there in Ocala. This was my second year. I went out and spoke to that group, and they're all about preserving our way of life and horse country there and farming communities throughout that Marion County area, in the greater area. And it's something they know that's been very important to me. It's such an honor to win an award like this. And what they put this back to is, you know, our work on the wildlife corridor. And, you know, by putting that in statute, a Senate president, rural and family lands where we buy development rights from farmers and make sure that that land is preserved in perpetuity. And so, you know, it's such an honor to be around those folks, like-minded people that are thinking, look, we need to preserve our way of life. We need to preserve working agriculture in this state because it's such a vital issue to our way of life, right? Our entire way of life is wrapped around the wildlife corridor here in Florida. It's where our aquifer is recharged. It's where animals traverse the state, and it's where we grow your food. And what we talk about, and what I'd often talk about with a group like this is, what's it going to be like for our grandchildren's grandchildren, right? And if we're going to preserve a quality of life in Florida and be productive as an agricultural state, we have to preserve that wildlife corridor.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it how important it is. And you have really kind of magnified that for a lot of folks getting that message out. I think that that is huge. But instead of thinking about greenery, good times, and fresh water, I guess there's a ton of paperwork to do and a big old budget is due. Tell me about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, normally session would have been over in early May this last year, like about 3 weeks ago. And normally the budget would have been set. And we may have been waiting for the governor, right, to either sign or veto parts of that budget. But there would have been the formation of a budget. And, of course, now the chambers have agreed to extend till June the 6th. And I think the House came back in and said, no, we're going to extend till June 30th to get a budget together. So they're pushing it right up to the wire. Every July the 1st is the fiscal beginning of the fiscal year for the state of Florida. So everyone assumes that, you know, by June 30th, they not only have to have that budget done, but the governor has to make, you know, to sign those budgets, or come July the 1st, you know, we'd be dealing with our first ever shutdown of state government of some fashion. And so anyway, it's unusual to get into June without a budget. I've never known it to happen any time in our history, but here we are. And I know that the House and the Senate are working very hard on it with the governor's office, and we'll just see over the next few weeks what they come together with.
Well, they, you know, I guess put off the IRS due date for a lot of Floridians because of the hurricane stuff and all that. So pushing back the budget process a little bit, hopefully won't be too harmful, and they'll get it all done by then. And then I heard there's another little pesky pest we got to worry about, the screw worm fly. What the heck?
Yeah, well, this is really a very serious issue for all of agriculture and even horses. But the screw worm is coming up through South America into Mexico. Some folks believe it'll come on into Texas and then obviously over throughout the southeast of the United States. And the screw worm literally plants itself within mammals. So this could be your cat or dog at home. If you see something unusual, you should go on our website and take a look at this to make sure you would recognize it. You need to tell your veterinarian immediately. And this screw worm eats flesh, so it would completely eat that animal until it, it would achieve mortality. And this is a very evasive species. We did have it in Florida in 2013, when Commissioner Putnam was in office down in the Keys. We were able to isolate it and eradicate it. And, of course, this appears to be a much worse potential case. So as your Department of Agriculture, we are letting all the local veterinarians throughout the state know that where it's at. We're educating the farming community to start watching for it. We clearly are paying a lot closer attention to what comes in and out of the state of Florida, but Brooke Rollins has done an amazing job to our USDA secretary under President Trump by closing the border off and making sure that anything that comes across has health certificates. Now, that will slow it down, but migratory birds and things will eventually, we believe, get it across. And so we're working on the solutions. You know, what do we treat it with, which we know. We just have to make sure we have an abundance. And so we're working very hard to come up with a solution before it gets here, so we'll be prepared and make sure that we can eradicate this very quickly. Go ahead.
I just wanted, if you could give us a quick thing of some of the presenting symptoms so we can keep our eyes peeled for it.
Well, yeah, you would see them. They're maggots. They're flesh-eating maggots. You might see them in open wounds or sores. That's what you would be looking for. If you have an animal with any type of open wound, that's where they would normally be located. But if you start seeing changes in the skin or coloration of the skin or anything like that, it's something that you should have at top of mind. And please get to your veterinarian very quickly. This is one of those occasions where you would just drive to your veterinarian and show them, not make an appointment for a few weeks. The earlier we could detect this, the quicker we make it do a containment and eradicate it from any specific area. So this is something that's very important and essentially would really wreak havoc on all of our animal agriculture. But not just only agriculture, cats, dogs, any kind of a mammal would be subject to this, and it's something that we need to take very serious as a society, as a state.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the heads up on that. Hey, what's with the Coca-Cola 500 winner in relationship to fifth-generation watermelon farmers?
Yeah, no, well, Ross Chastain won last week, Coca-Cola 600. He's a big Fresh from Florida supporter, and he's actually, I think, an eighth-generation watermelon farmer out of Fort Myers. His family continuously is still in the watermelon business. They are selling them now. Those Fresh from Florida watermelons. We're very proud of Ross Chastain, obviously a very, very highly decorated NASCAR driver, sticking to his roots for Florida and Florida agriculture, but agriculture all over the country. It's refreshing to see someone get up, and of course, after he wins, he comes out and smashes a watermelon. But he's a good man and great NASCAR driver, and we're very proud of it, and just happens to be a watermelon farmer.
We love it. All things Fresh from Florida. It's all good. Florida Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson, thanks for keeping us up to speed with a lot of things we need to know, and we appreciate it.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
We will talk to you soon. It is 9:15. We're about 30 minutes away from things that make you smile. Looking for upbeat positive thoughts. Also, I've got more headlines and all the important information you need to know. So just stick around, all right? You're listening to The Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy, live and local on 97.3 The Sky. Better be looking out for them rascals in Bradford County today.
Yeah, what's that?
It's their last day of school.
Oh, those rascals. Yeah. Okay.
Do you remember carrying on last day of school? Not anything real bad, but...
Carrying on. That's a good phrase.
Yeah.
From back. Bad, you kids, just carrying on.
They're carrying on.
That's
and,
right.
And my mom was acting like a bunch of characters.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, last day of school for Bradford County. You know why? Because they love their kids.
Wow.
Unlike the kids in Sumter County. Boy, they hate them. They're like, keep them in school as long as you can. Well, June 3rd, as long as we can go. Okay. That'll work. You know, I'm just fooling around. Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding around. Since I'm going to name pretty much all the counties, I might as well go with this one.
I was going to say, you really just got to go on down the line there, so I might as well.
So, Career Source covers Citrus, Levy, and Marion County. You got that, right? Hence the name Career Source, CLM.
That's creative.
Which is also the website, careersourceclm.com, because you're going to want to remember this information that I'm about to share with you. It's a job fair, and it's free, and it's going to be held on Tuesday, June 10th. I remember when June sounded so far away. It actually starts Sunday.
Yes, it's not far away.
So, yeah, a couple of weeks for this. Tuesday, June 10th, for anyone eager to land a hot job and a cool career, it is free, open to any job seeker. It takes place from 3 to 5 p.m. That's on Tuesday, June 10th, at the College of Central Florida's Wilton Simpson Citrus Campus.
Well, look at that.
How do you get that campus named after
you? That's pretty sharp.
And that's in Lecanto. So, all right, that's it. The kids are going to be out of school. Mm-hmm. You send them right on down to that job fair.
That's right. Get a job, kids. Support the family.
Well, just support yourself. We'll take a load off the family.
That would be nice, yeah.
Everybody's got to pull their weight. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of this? A paraglider, I guess, flying so high, they get frostbitten?
That seems a little extreme.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Well, you know what happened.
What's that?
It was a cloud vortex.
Ooh.
Sucked him in.
That doesn't sound good.
A Chinese man barely survived a paragliding flight off of a mountain when he was pulled into a freezing cloud vortex that nearly killed him. The hobbyist was identified as Liu Ji. Started his flight off the Qilin Mountains in northern China on Saturday, but soon found himself pulled into a freezing cold mountain cloud system that forced him soaring higher than his initial 9,800 feet above sea level flight path.
That still seems way
that
up
That seems
there.
High enough.
That does seem way up there.
Plenty
yeah.
high. Well, you start high,
yeah,
and then I imagine you glide down.
Mm.
He was gliding up.
Yeah.
He was going the wrong way. A GoPro video of his flight shows the paraglider pilot quickly icing over his exposed face as he struggles to find his way out of the swirling and deadly clouds. He claimed that the temperature around him reached minus 40 degrees.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's awful.
And he also reported that oxygen thinned to a dangerous level. Yeah.
I'm sure.
I bet it did.
Yeah.
I felt oxygen deficiency in my hands were freezing. He said after finally making it back to Earth, but I kept communicating via the intercom and, yeah, he was all iced over. He was having trouble breathing. Ultimately, though, he was able to wrest himself out of the sub-zero cloud system and landed safely, but he did suffer severe frostbite in his hands and face and now is recovering at a hospital. The paraglider may also suffer other consequences. Authorities suspect that he may have violated a ban on paragliding above 16,400 feet, which is prohibited by the country's air traffic control rules. It's like, I'm not doing this on purpose. I didn't want to get my face frozen off.
Oh, man. That's scary.
Oh, yeah, you exceeded the 16,000-foot limit.
Hey, talk to the vortex.
Yeah.
You know, that's
take
who
it
did.
Up with the vortex.
That's right.
Talk to the vortex.
That's right.
Like the hand?
Uh-huh. I like it.
That is, I mean,
that
honestly, of all the stories, I haven't heard that one yet.
Yeah.
All right. Whew. What else do we have going on these days? Well, we have the would-be assassin. A report from CBS News indicates the alleged would-be Trump assassin Thomas Matthew Crooks
yes.
apparently was designing a bomb for purposes unknown. Oh, I could probably hazard a guess.
I appreciate it.
Breitbart News. Breitbart. Breitbart News reported that Crooks allegedly attempted to kill Trump on July 13, 2024, after telling his father he needed to borrow a rifle to go to the range. Trump's right ear was hit by one of Crooks' bullets, and audience member Corey Comparatore was killed by another round. Crooks was killed by the Secret Service less than 30 seconds after he allegedly fired his first shot. According to CBS News, Crooks had been designing a bomb for months prior to the assassination attempt and had become frustrated that the components had not shipped to him in a timely fashion. Yeah.
That's scary, too.
But what do you do with that? I mean,
yeah.
you call up and go, hey, man, waiting on my bomb stuff.
I know. That's,
come on, Amazon, get it together.
Wow.
On January 31st, 2024, he repeatedly emailed the company from which he had ordered materials. Hello, my name is Thomas. I placed an order on your website on January 19th. I've not received any updates of the order shipping out yet. I was wondering if you still have it and when I can expect it to come.
Because the Trump rally is coming up soon.
Yeah.
Okay, might have left that one out.
In August, FBI Pittsburgh Special Agent in Charge, Kevin Rojek, indicated Crooks had researched nitromethane and other materials consistent with the manufacturing of explosive devices. The Western Journal researched the effectiveness of a backpack-sized bomb made with the material that Crooks purportedly ordered and found it would have a lethal radius of up to roughly 30 feet. Hmm. So, yeah, he was...
He had plans.
Yeah, plans. Based on issues.
Yes,
I would guess. Sure. Yeah. Then you've got other people that just say the kooky, crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Kevin Bacon's wife, actress Kira Sedgwick.
She's one of those.
Ranted about losing rights as a woman under President Donald Trump while promoting a hands-off protest.
Really?
Again, they never say what rights these are.
Hmm.
What rights do you think she is losing?
I don't know.
You had Scott Pelley from CBS News giving that rant the other day to the graduates of Wake Forest, talking about, you know, freedom of speech is lost and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, he seemed pretty free to give his very much maligned toward Trump speech.
Did he get disappeared or anything? I mean, that's always, we always hear about that.
It doesn't appear that way.
Wow. Wow. He's still around.
Kira Sedgwick says, I'm finding myself pretty scared about a lot of things.
Oh.
Scared about losing my rights as a woman. Scared about losing my right to vote as a woman.
What?
Mm-hmm.
They've lived way too much in the world of imagination in Hollywood.
She is scared about losing autonomy over her body as a woman. Really?
Okay.
The actress added that she is scared of my parents' Social Security checks and scared of food banks running out of food and not being able to replenish because they're no longer getting federal funding.
Well, maybe she and her rich husband, if they're so scared about these things, should help them out financially if it really turns into that.
And they actually are in a financial position where they could probably fairly easily do that.
Them and their friends, yeah. They
and
do
that would, you know, allay any fears. But they have, or at least most of them, I would imagine. You know, he makes money, you know. The guy brings home the bacon.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I know you're waiting for that one. All Thank you very much, everybody. 15 minutes away from things that make you smile right here on 97.3 The Sky. Nine o'clock stretch rolling, and another day in paradise. It's going to be a warm one. Yeah, I guess that's kind of the pattern for the most part. It is 9:37. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and the Bob Rose Show podcast is available wherever you normally download your podcast. Click on subscribe. You'll never miss a minute of the show. Like, for instance, we had Congresswoman Kat Kamick on talking about the big, beautiful bill, but we also had the mayor of Newberry on, Tim Martin, and he's also the head of the Republican Executive Committee. And he was announcing to us that the guest speaker this year will be Byron Donalds, Congressman Donalds, who very well could be our next governor. So that's a big get, big news, and that's the kind of thing that you might catch up on when you check out the Bob Rose Show podcast. Billy Graham addressed the rise of anti-Semitism in America, which he tied to an expanded footprint for Islamic studies in U.S. universities. He said, you know the gospel message. It's simple. It's that God loves us and that he created us, and we have a problem, and that problem is sin. We saw it manifest itself there in Washington yesterday, and this couple was murdered. Sin's infected the hearts of every person in the world, and the only way that sin can be dealt with was for God to send his son, Jesus Christ, to take our sins. And he died and shed his blood on that cross. He was buried for our sins, and on that third day, God raised him to life. And the only hope for this world is Christ changing the hearts of each individual one at a time. And he can do that. Billy, I almost said Billy, Franklin Graham. Did I say Billy earlier? Old habit. Not a bad habit, but old and inaccurate. He did it in my heart when I was 22. I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, and he changed me. He said, part of this is our world needs our prayers. We see anti-Semitism growing in this country. And a lot of this has to do with the many millions of dollars that have been given to our universities to have centers for Islamic study and these types of things, which are just fronts, really, for anti-Semitic messages to be taught to our young people.
Yep.
So he is speaking out about an issue that is real, it is true, and it does have an impact on our young people, along with so many other things that are happening both inside and outside the curriculums.
Yeah.
Supreme Court declines to review free speech case. It was a case of a middle schooler. Yep. Yesterday, the Supreme Court said, we don't want to do this one.
Interesting.
It's the case of a Massachusetts student whose middle school barred him from wearing a T-shirt stating, now, this is quite offensive. Mm-hmm. All right, you ready?
I'm ready, yeah.
There are only two genders.
Oh.
It almost hurt to say.
Wow. Look at that. Yeah. That's news.
So a middle school kid wore a shirt. There are only two genders. Imagine that when we were growing up. Like, nobody would look at you twice.
Well, see, there was a boys' room and a girls' room.
Yeah.
In some grades, there was boys' gym and girls' gym.
Yeah, yeah.
It seemed pretty normal.
Hey, it wouldn't seem out of line to have a shirt that said there's only two genders. The only reason we didn't have those shirts is because I guess nobody was confused about that biological fact.
No. Even as children, we followed the science, Obama. It's settled. The science was settled, and then they changed it.
They changed the science.
They tried to.
The case was brought on behalf of student Liam Morrison through his father and stepmother, Christopher and Susan Morrison, against Nichols Middle School. ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom, the law firm representing Morrison, argued that the school violated his First and 14th Amendment rights and engaged in viewpoint discrimination in 2023 by sending him home for wearing that shirt, as well as forcing him to change his clothes after he wore a redacted version of the shirt with the word censored where two used to be. Morrison was in the seventh grade at the time. Conservative-leaning justices Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito dissented, with Thomas writing that the U.S. Court of Appeals for the First Circuit distorted this court's First Amendment case law in significant ways that warrant this court's review. Both justices also assessed that the lower court flouted the binding precedent of Tinker, a 1969 case which held that public school officials may not restrict a student's freedom of speech unless his behavior is material or materially disrupts classwork or involves substantial disorder or invasion of the rights of others. So a couple of them, the conservative judges didn't seem to have an issue and would have ruled appropriately on behalf of the child. But apparently some of the other justices, the rest of them didn't agree. Let's go to the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skyline. And Bridget, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. Just want to give you an update on that Supreme Court case. Christine Hall, I'm not sure you're aware of her. She's in Florida. She's a constitutional attorney. She put out a statement a couple days ago. And the reason why the Supreme Court won't take this case up, and I guess prior case law precedent, the Supreme Court there was a judicial ruling, but she put out public schools are funded by taxpayers of all beliefs, and that's the public schools. They must stay viewpoint neutral. This means schools cannot promote one belief over another, but they also allow students to be targeted. But so she goes on to say, if we want our children protected from ideological attacks, we must also be willing to protect the children of those we disagree with. Liberty doesn't play favorites. It requires equal protection for every viewpoint, not just their own. But the key takeaway here was that it's publicly taxed dollars. That's why you should choose a private school with their own beliefs. So anyway, just want to give that food for thought. All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the information.
Interesting there, though, but it seems like the one who's actually being persecuted here is the one that actually wore the T-shirt that has the, we'll call it common sense, traditional scientific fact of there being only two genders. So it shouldn't be considered disruptive just because someone else has decided to believe something other than the norm.
So I wonder if the another kid wore a, I don't know, rainbow-type flag shirt. Would that be okay or not?
It has been traditionally, unfortunately, in some schools.
So
that would be the
sure.
one that should be disruptive to the norm.
Disruptive to the norm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Norm. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
What about Canada?
Eh?
What about our 51st state? What is going on?
What are you, Donald Trump?
President Donald Trump reported on Tuesday that Canada was considering giving up its statehood in exchange for protection. We're going to protect you. No, it's the proposed Golden Dome missile defense system. You see, here's the deal. If you want in, it's going to cost you.
Oh.
If you want to avoid maybe some of that expenditure, all you have to do is become the 51st state, and at no additional charge, we will provide you with the Golden Dome.
Here, just sign right here, and you'll be our 51st state.
That's right. I told Canada, which very much wants to be part of our fabulous Golden Dome system, that it will cost $61 billion if they remain a separate but an equal nation, but will cost $0 if they become our cherished 51st state. They are considering the offer, he claimed.
Well, you know, he's a little bit of a Trumpism going on there, I think.
He does like to just rub them the wrong way, didn't he?
But he's Donald Trump.
Right.
You know, so.
Trump has threatened in recent months to annex Canada, an idea fiercely rebuked by Canadian officials and their citizens. I remember when he was with the Prime Minister, Mark Carney, and he said, it won't be, Canada's not for sale, it will never be for sale. And Trump said something along the lines of, you know, they said there were certain things I couldn't do and buildings I couldn't buy and all that. So to that I say, never say never. Which, of course, just irritated the Canadian
even more.
Yeah. King Charles III, who is recognized as Canada's sovereign, gave a speech before the Canadian Parliament on Tuesday in which he appeared to reject Trump's idea of purchasing the North American country and making it the 51st state. Quote, Canadians can give themselves far more than any foreign power on any continent could ever take away, and that, by staying true to Canadian values, Canada can build new alliances and a new economy that serves all Canadians. As for the Golden Dome, Trump announced last week, the U.S. had officially selected the architecture for the missile defense system that would create a network of satellites to detect, track, and potentially intercept incoming ballistic missiles. Yep, the U.S. president said the project cost about $175 billion to build. It was expected to be fully operational within 3 years. He said that Canada would be included in its safety net. Yeah, Canada's called us. They want to be part of it. So we'll be talking to them. We want to have protection, and they want to have protection also. So, 51st state?
There you go.
Anyone?
Yeah.
Coming up next, things that make you smile. Upbeat, positive, non-political thoughts that you have. Share those with us. Count your blessings kind of a moment, all right? And it is brought to you by Transformation Dentistry and Dr. Samantha Annis. So call in now. Things that make you smile. 877-975-9825. Another beautiful day in paradise. Time now for things that make you smile. Upbeat positive thoughts. Brought to you by Transformation Dentistry and Dr. Samantha Annis. Go ahead and call in right now. Don't be shy. 877 775-9825. And good morning, Chris. What's making you smile?
Yes, sir. The yearling makes me smile. The book, people calling about the bears, and the family just has to do what they have to do to protect their livestock and their family and their neighbors, and Jody and Flag running around in the scrub, and Jody and Penny having to go after old Slewfoot and take care of their way of life. Nothing political, just the way it is in Florida for people that forgot.
Yeah, there's a great little history there with Cross Creek and the yearling, and great to visit her home, too, if you haven't been.
There's something to be said about simplicity and just the way life was. Even we go back to our childhood, like how much it's changed, you know, in our lifetimes.
Oh, immensely.
Tremendously. The last 20 years.
And that's why, you know, some people want to live, kind of out in the woods a little bit, but you deal with the different issues than people in the city deal with, that's for sure.
Yeah, like bears.
Yeah. 877-975-9825. Call in now. And Mike, what's making you smile?
Good morning, guys. What's making me smile is the past couple of days during the segments for things that are bugging you, I just can't think of anything. But at the same time, what's making me smile is I have realtors up in the North Carolina area looking for me, and they come down with these great deals and whatnot. But what makes me smile is they don't compare to what I have here invested. And I just can't think of anything that would make me want to move from here, especially my radio station. Have a good day. Bye.
Nice.
Yeah, best thing to do is get a place up there where there's also room for me. And then I will move there with you and broadcast the show from there. And then we come back when it's cold, come back here. That's kind of that's the overall goal in my mind, where I'd like to be. I don't know if I can actually work the job part into it, but I might try. Let's go to Mark. Good morning. What's making you smile?
Hey, good morning, Bob and Greg. What's making me smile is SpaceX's continued intense success forward. It's kind of related to what you were talking about earlier in the show about, you know, you learn by errors and stuff. So, you know, I just love his continued success, and I think things are going to be moving forward. You know, you live and learn, you launch and learn.
So. No, that's exactly right. And that they've always had that kind of really positive attitude. They're never like bummed out, like, oh, that sucks, we failed.
Yeah.
No, it's like, look for the bright spot and what they learned and what they need to learn.
I think Mark wants to go to Mars. I think that's why he's hoping for their success.
Could be. It's a bit of a trip,
you know,
but if they give you a real good, strong Ambien, you wake up and there you are, partying with Martians, just like that.
Wow.
All right, good morning, Jim. What's making you smile?
Well, when I look back at the pictures that my dad took of us when we were kids growing up, and my memories of growing up in the best of times, always makes me smile.
Oh, that's nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Good stuff.
Yeah, that happens once in a while. Be going through some stuff around the house, and like you find one of those boxes full of, you know, all the old albums and pictures from when you were a kid, and you're like, man, it really does just take you back.
You see that?
I see your hands up in the air, yes.
That means I got both hands, both feet.
Yeah.
And I sawed off some big branches yesterday, me and a pole saw.
Really?
Which don't tell anybody about a pole saw.
Yeah.
That should probably be illegal.
On a tall ladder, no less.
Indeed I was.
But we're glad you kept all your hands and your
so
feet.
So far, so good.
So far, yeah.
Yeah. And that definitely makes me smile. Yeah. All right. Thanks, folks, that participated. But coming up, it's The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. Time now for The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. Well, the FBI has reopened the probe into the bag of dun-dun-dun-dun cocaine discovered by Secret Service agents in the White House under President Joe Biden in 2023, FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino confirmed that the probe has been reopened in the interest of exposing public corruption. And I know what you might be thinking. Is somehow Hunter involved? And is this the smoking gun? No, the actual smoking gun got tossed into a dumpster, but that's an entirely different case. So for today, the cocaine is the smoking gun. The smoking gun is brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. On behalf of Greg Cassidy, I'm Bob Rose. God bless you and your family. Have a great, safe day. See ya.